Welcome to My Father's House Podcast, Episode 294, Fasting with a Right Heart. Senior Pastor Harley Kolterman delivered this message on Sunday, January 1st, 2023 in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Happy New Year, everybody. Welcome to our first communion service this year and to our first fruit service this year and to the first service of the year. Praise the Lord. God is good. So God has been good to us this whole past year. We're so grateful, thankful for all the blessing that God has given us, for protecting us, for giving us wisdom, guidance, direction, and all the good things he's done for us, and especially for his tender, loving mercies. Amen? Amen. And his great faithfulness. We're so thankful that we can serve a God who loves us, who sent his son Jesus to die on the cross for us, to pay the price so that we could live for him forever. Praise the Lord. So welcome to 2023. Praise the Lord. So this morning I want to talk to you a little bit about fasting. This is also our first day of fasting here at MFH, and we declare a 21-day fast each year and invite people to join us in that. We're not commanding anybody to do anything or demanding that anybody do anything or participate in it in a particular way. We're giving you some guidance for it, some direction for it, but what we want to do is basically draw near to God. You know, the quest to come into the secret place, you know, Psalm 90 says that we can abide in the secret place of the Most High God. We can dwell in the shadow of the Almighty. The shadow of the Almighty is interesting. You know, when Peter's shadow crossed the people, people got healed. That was the glory of God that was surrounding Peter as he walked down the street. By you, but I'd like to experience some of those days, not for me, you know, not to be my shadow, not to be my glory, but the glory of God to come on the people of God in such a way that when you walk down the street, people just get healed. Amen. When you walk into Walmart's or Meijer, people get healed. When you go into Kroger or you go into Home Depot or Lowe's or any of the stores that you frequent, Hobby Lobby, yeah. When you go in there, the glory of God comes in there and people just get healed. Wouldn't that be wonderful? But the quest to be in the presence of God has been a fight for God's people forever, actually. And to do that, you have a fight with the flesh. Because it takes some discipline to come into the presence of God. You can't make the presence of God manifest itself in any particular way, but you can do things that are conducive to the presence of God coming into your lives. And how to reach for that, how to press into that, maybe it's different for every person in some ways, but the same in other ways, because basically you're part of the equation. Of course, God can do anything he wants to do. You know, I mean, he can manifest his glory. He could just like roll in here like a cloud and wipe us all out. You know, that would be fine. We could be a great way to celebrate New Year's, be a great way to have the first service of the year, just have the presence of God roll in and everybody just be under the power of God. But for the most part, one has to prepare himself for that. You know, when Moses saw the glory of God in the burning bush, he had to put his sheep aside. He had to put whatever he was doing aside and look at that bush and walk up to that bush and go near that bush and then hear the voice of God that said, "This is a holy place. Take off your shoes." He had to be obedient to get the rest of the message. So the quest for that, you know, the Bible says, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. That means you have to do something. You have to do the drawing near. You have to be the one that lays aside something in order to do something else. And that takes some discipline. It takes some courage sometimes, some persistence to break out of the box, to break out of the mold, to be radical, to be different, to be other, but that's what we're called to be. And that's a description of what the term holy means. The Word of God says that we should be holy as the Lord our God is holy. Sometimes we think, well, that's perfect and I could never be perfect. No, he's not talking about perfect. He's talking about being set aside like he is set aside, to be other and different than he, like he is other and different. And that's personal to you. That's personal to me. I can't do it for you. You can't do it for me. We can't do it for each other. We can only do it for him, for the purpose of laying something aside to draw into his presence. So when we ask people to fast, we ask people to pray, we really put prayer ahead of fasting because it's a seeking of God. There's no point in starving yourself for no purpose, going without for no purpose. But if you're laying aside something that you are accustomed to, something that you perhaps love, in order to do something else that's spiritual and draw near to God, that can be meaningful, that can be purposeful. And we encourage you to engage in that way in some way during these 21 days, whatever level you can believe for, you can trust God for, we're encouraging you to be a part of that. So this is not about mandating what people should do and how they should do it, but it's rather inviting you to find a place in your life in these next 3 weeks where you can draw near to God and let him draw near to you and let his presence come into your life in new and special ways. Praise the Lord. So we hope that it's not come across as heavy-handed or as something religious or, just a tradition. We do it every year at the first of the year because sometimes we've not done it the first of the year. Sometimes we've done it at the end of the last year so that we're ready to go into the next year. But these last few years, we've talked about it in terms of let's open the year with prayer and fasting. Let's open the year drawing near to God. Let's open the year pressing into the things of God, setting aside some special times for God to move in our hearts, move in our lives, move in our homes and our families. So I don't know about you, but probably every family could use a little more of God, maybe a little less of us, maybe quite a lot less of us and more of God. Because we live in trying times. We live in difficult economic times. We live in difficult family times, situations, circumstances, all this stuff pressing in to take us away from the glory of God. The Bible says all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Man, is that ever true? And all includes pretty much everybody, right? All is all. So we invite you to join us. We invite you to be a part of what God is doing at this church fellowship. If you're watching online, we welcome you to join us as well. We're fasting, we're praying, we're setting aside time to seek after God. We have some prayer sheets that you can use for scriptures as a basis for that drawing near. We hope you find those useful and that you find a way to get those scriptures, those words from God in your heart, because unless something becomes revelation on the inside of you, it's just another story, it's just another page from the Bible, it's just another chapter or another verse. But when it gets down inside of you and begins to work inside of you, the Holy Spirit takes that seed of the word and he begins to make it grow and produce fruit, we say, produce fruit. You know, a tree, we plant the seed, and the tree grows, and after some years, it begins to produce some fruit. Well, we would like to have the fruit-producing stage be more and more rapid, wouldn't we? You know, when we get to heaven, there's going to be some amazing, amazing trees. Pastor Karen was talking about some trees just a little bit ago. But there's going to be some amazing trees by the river of life that flows out from the throne of God, and the Bible says that there'll be healing in those trees. I don't know if there's anybody sick up there, but if they're sick, they won't stay sick for sure. But it's an amazing miracle of God, those miracle trees. I guess it would be the closest thing to the Garden of Eden and the Tree of Life that anybody could ever experience. Since we missed that one, we get another crack at it. We get another chance at it when we get up there to see Jesus face to face. Amen? Because he's coming back pretty soon, you know. Maybe sooner than you think. Another reason to draw near to God. Amen? Praise the Lord. So, when asked by her son about fasting, Bishop Denise Renner, an author, a minister of God, simply replied, "Instead of eating food, I spend time with God. Time with God is more important than food," she told her young son. Spending time with God is more important than food. Now, we all know about the importance of food. You know, we've all been heard messages about how we should eat right, eat better, eat healthy, all of those kind of things. Because it's important what you do with this body, because it's the temple of the Holy Spirit. It's a place where God wants to come and live. So we should make it a place that's nice for him to live. Amen. We don't want God to live in some broken down shack somewhere down by the river, you know. We want him to live in a beautiful place, a place that radiates his beauty, his glory, his presence, his life. So we should be careful what we do with our body. The Bible said we should glorify God in our bodies, which are his. The Bible says you're not your own. You're the temple of the Holy Spirit. You were bought with a price. You were purchased with a price. So time with God is more important than food. So we'll be talking about food a little bit here in this message. I had a good pastor friend from Scotland. He's passed away now, but he used to run the New York City Marathon for Feed the Hungry every year when I was the World Operations Director for Feed the Hungry. Just a really great friend. He headed up our office in Great Britain, in the country of Scotland, Edinburgh, the capital. But he had a saying. He used to say, "Most Christians need a checkup from the neck up." I think really probably a heart check probably would be a better thing. That we need to check our hearts to see where our heart is. I think that would be more in order for the times that we live in. But I get what he said. You know, a lot of Christians are just pretty frivolous and casual about their Christianity, about their life with Jesus, about pursuing God, about coming into his presence, their prayer life, their life of seeking God. Sometimes even, you know, church attendance or cell attendance or any of those kind of things that are sometimes can be an indicator of your commitment and your faithfulness to the things of God. But, you know, you can do all of those things as a religious thing and it can count for nothing. But yet you can do it as a spiritual thing, as a service, as a work of service to God, because you love him and because you want to be obedient to him. Because he said, don't forsake assembling together as the manner of some is. And man, in these last years, we've seen people run from the church. Stay away from the church, you know, mask up and hide in your basement and do all of those things, you know. Some of it was out of fear, some of it was out of prudence perhaps, or thinking that it was a wise thing to do because the science, etc., whatever. But man, we saw a lot of people never come back to church after that. And, you know, we're past that now, I hope. I believe we're past that. Somebody may try to resurrect it from the dead, but we're past that. We're done with that in Jesus' name. Amen. So I pray over your immunity and my immunity. Our immunity is great. We're inoculated with the blood of Jesus and with the power of Jesus' name. In just a few minutes, we'll be taking communion with Pastor Sarah, and we'll be reinvigorating the power of the blood of Jesus to eradicate sickness, disease, poverty, lack, weakness, infirmity, and every other curse that's under the law. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So, for Denise Renner, Bishop Renner, the time with God was more important than anything else to her. And she imparted that to her son, who has become a great author and pastor and leader in the kingdom of God. So though she is an author and classically trained vocalist, time with God is more important to her than writing books or singing or ministering alongside her husband, a renowned minister and pastor in the former Soviet Union region. So the question is, though, is how is your time with God? It's nice to talk about somebody else and their commitment, their dedication, their consecration, but what about you? What about me? What about us? How's your time with God been? Maybe you can look back on 2023 and, you know, we could live in the regrets of it, but that's not the point. The point is, the Bible says, examine yourselves and judge yourself so that you won't be judged, right? So when we look back at those things where we maybe missed it or didn't do so well, it's not a matter of, you know, self-condemnation, because the Bible says there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. It's a matter of examination and saying, you know what, this is a new year. Today's a new day. Today is the first day of 2023, and this is a new year, and we can press into some things. It's not about a New Year's resolution, but it's about a determination on the inside that this can be a different year for me. This can be a greater year for me. This can be a year of God's presence and God's power and His love in fantastic ways that I've never experienced before. I can step into some new things with God today, this year, this week, this month, this 21 days. I can find Him in new ways. I can find that secret place. I can be in the presence of the Almighty. But you know what? That'll never happen if you don't set aside some time to do it. If you just let the busyness of 2023 come in on January 1st or 2nd, it's not going to happen for you. So we have to examine how we use our time and what our priorities are, and just determine that this year is going to be different. And God helping us, and through the power of the Holy Spirit, and with the power of the name of Jesus and the blood of Jesus, we can get breakthroughs this year in the area of our personal time with God. That could be the greatest starting point for a great new year. The other part of that is not just how was your time with God, but how was your attitude about it? Ooh, well, now I'm meddling, I suppose. But sometimes, you know, as Christians, we can be just really overbearing, you know, about, you know, when we're looking at ourselves, but when we're looking at others and judging them, condemning them for what they have or haven't done, or the commitment they have or haven't made. But what about our attitude? Is it stinking thinking? Is it ratty and nasty? Is it, I do this because I have to? Or is it, I do this because I love Jesus? You have to ask yourself those questions, because if you don't ask yourself those questions, you'll just slide into the religious mode of doing religious things, and it becomes your sort of rosary, as you maybe would be a way to describe it. You know, I don't have anything against people doing stuff to help themselves pray. But you can do religious things and mark the time in your Bible reading, in your study, in your prayer time. You can just mark the time and say, check that off. I did that, man. I was like, I spent that 15 minutes or half hour or hour, 2 hours, whatever you've set aside for God. You know, if we tithed our time, that would be 2 hours and some minutes, right? Every day. We get 24 hours, right? Everybody still has 24 hours? Okay. I'm not saying you have to tithe your time, you know, but might be a nice goal to shoot for in a lifetime. Just a thought. So, the book of Malachi deals a lot with having the right attitudes about things. I'm going to read some scriptures from Malachi. The right motives in relating to our to God and how we relate to Him. Malachi chapter 1 verse 6 says, "The Lord of heaven's army says to the priests." Now I think this is an appropriate scripture for everybody, because the Bible says that we're kings and priests. We're a royal priesthood, a holy nation, set aside for God, right? So this isn't just to the priests of the old times, but this is to the priests of the next generation. Malachi was the last book of the old covenant. And then the next book is Matthew. We enter the new covenant. So maybe this is a prophetic thing to the priests who are to come in the new covenant. He said, "A son honors his father and a servant respects his master. If I am your father and master, where are the honor and respect I deserve? You have shown contempt for my name, but you ask, how have we ever shown contempt for your name? You've shown contempt by offering defiled sacrifices on my altar. Then you ask, how have we defiled the sacrifices? You defile them by saying the altar of God deserves no respect. When you give blind animals as sacrifice, isn't that wrong? And isn't it wrong to offer animals that are crippled and diseased? Try giving gifts like that to your governor and see how pleased he is, says the Lord of heaven's armies. Go ahead, beg God to be merciful to you. But when you bring that kind of offering, why should he show you any favor at all? Ask the Lord of heaven's armies." Pretty stiff words there. But it has to do with attitude. It has to do with our respect for God. So when we're asking people to draw away from the things of life, like food that we do every day, or other activities so that we can spend time with God, when we're asking people to do that, we need to do it with an attitude that has respect and honor for God, right? Not an attitude of duty or an attitude of, "My pastor made me do this. I'm not making you do anything. I'm inviting you. Your cell leader is inviting you." But it's about honor for God. How are we going to honor him this year? How are we going to respect him this year? Well, if our attitude isn't right, we're off to the wrong start. We're off to a bad start, at least, to say. The book of Isaiah, likewise, talks about attitude. In Isaiah 58, which you've been studying in your cell groups, to get ready for this time of fasting, this time of prayer and fasting. Isaiah 58, verse 1, it says, "Shout aloud with a trumpet blast, with the blast of a shofar. Shout aloud, don't be timid. Tell my people their sins. Yet they act so pious. They come to the temple every day and seem delighted to learn all about me. They act like a righteous nation that would never abandon the laws of its God. They ask me to take action on their behalf, pretending they want to be near me. We have fasted before you, they say. Why aren't you impressed? We have been very hard on ourselves, and you don't even notice it. I'll tell you why," I respond. "It's because you are fasting to please yourself. Even while you fast, you keep oppressing your workers. What good is fasting when you keep fighting and quarreling? This kind of fasting will never get you anywhere with me." Wow. What an indictment. But it gets down where we live, right? It gets down to your attitude, your respect, and your honor for God. So it's so important as we enter in these days of fasting together and praying together to make it a time of prayer and respect and honor for God. It'd be better to have shorter times of respecting and honoring God than to take longer times and just abusing yourself or suffering through some kind of thing like skipping food. What good is fasting when you keep on fighting and quarreling? Kind of take a look at the world around you. The problem with it is, you know, we're supposed to be in the world, just not of it, right? So because others are fighting and quarreling and having a bad time doesn't mean that you have to be involved in the fight, the quarrel, or the engaging the world standard for life. You know, what they would say is your new normal. Because somebody paid a price for you with his blood. And because you were bought with a price, you're not your own. And you can't afford to live that way. We can't afford to live that way in a world that's in chaos. The word goes on that says, you humble yourselves by going through the motions of penance. Bowing your heads like reeds bending in the wind, you dress in burlap and cover yourself with ashes. Is this what you call fasting? Do you really think this will please the Lord? So it's important for you, for me, for us, to humble ourselves before the Lord. But we've got to be careful not just to go through the motions with wrong attitudes and a wrong heart. Here's a passage from the book Fasting. It's this one here by Derek Prince. I think it's a very good book. If you've never fasted before, it's really a good foundation for what you're doing. He says, a lost key to successful Christian living is found throughout the Bible, has been set aside and misplaced by the church today. That key is fasting. Fasting, as I would define it, he says, is voluntary abstaining from food for spiritual purposes. Fasting, as I would define it, is voluntary abstaining from food for spiritual purposes. So you notice there, it's not, you're made to fast. Somebody makes you fast, commands you to fast, demands you to fast, is voluntary. And fasting is not eating, not putting something in the mouth. But not just for losing weight or for some kind of beating yourself up, abusing yourself. It's for spiritual purposes. Sometimes people fast not only from food but also from water. However, that is the exception rather than the rule. Fasting from food only is exemplified in the fast of Jesus in the wilderness before he began his public ministry. You can find that in Matthew 4:2. We won't go there, but you know that Jesus fasted often and spent time on the mountaintop praying from God. Other than that one long fast, it doesn't say that he did that like every month or every week or whatever. But he did have a long fast before he went into the ministry. Fasting is for self-humbling. Primarily the purpose of fasting, I'm quoting also from this book, Fasting by Derek Prince. Primarily the purpose for fasting is self-humbling. It is a scriptural means ordained by God for us to humble ourselves before him. Throughout the Bible, God requires his people to humble themselves before him. Many different passages of scripture emphasizes this. Here are four from the New Testament. from Matthew chapter 18, verse 4. Therefore, whoever humbles himself like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Matthew 23:12. For whoever exalts himself will be humbled. Whoever humbles himself will be exalted. Those are words of Jesus. James, the brother of Jesus, said, this is James 4:10, humble yourself before the Lord, he will lift you up. That's a great promise, amen? Peter, the Apostle Peter said in 1 Peter 5:6, humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. So there's something about humbling yourself before God that puts you in a position to receive something from God. You know, the Bible says pride goes before a fall, so we know that the opposite of that would be humility. So if pride causes one to fall, humility would cause one to be in a position to come into the presence of God or to have his presence come to you. And when his presence comes, the Bible says in his presence is the fullness of joy. Amen. At his right hand are pleasures forevermore. So a lot of things that we do in life, you know, are for seeking pleasure or comfort. I mean, we want to be as comfortable as we can. You know, it's funny when we take teams to the mission field to observe people and kind of, you know, I mean, I don't just watch you when you're on the mission field to see how you do. But it's interesting watching people because some people, they're really bad travelers. And if the food isn't just right, yikes. And if something happens that's out of the ordinary, like you end up in a special place in Cuba, it's interesting to see how people handle things like that. The special place is a nice little jail place, but it has nice bathrooms in it, so it's nice. It's a nice spot in Cuba. But, you know, you perhaps heard the saying, you know, that when you squeeze the tube of toothpaste, what comes out? Toothpaste, right? So usually when we're put under a little bit of pressure or a little bit of situations or some different kinds of things, whatever's inside of us starts to come out, starts to hang out. So oftentimes we have to deal with interpersonal relationships on the team and things like that. It's all good stuff because it makes us grow, amen? It makes us mature, helps us to walk in love and not in strife, amen? To walk by faith and not by sight in some cases. And to deal with situations, you know, sometimes people eat the wrong kind of food or take the water and the water's not so good for them and, you know, have some issues with their body. But, you know, we get through it. We pray through it. We fight through it. And we get the victory. Praise the Lord. We have a hearty team of missionaries from this church. Praise the Lord. But when we humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God, he lifts us up. It puts us in a position where we can be lifted up. Amen? Amen? Praise the Lord. So one important feature of all the scriptures is that responsibility to humble ourselves is placed. We cannot transfer that responsibility to God. To pray, God, make me humble, is unscriptural because the reply of God in scripture is always, humble yourself. God is not going to make you humble. In the Bible, God has revealed to us a specific practical way to humble ourselves. David reveals that fasting was the way he employed to humble his soul or to humble himself. Psalm 35, verse 13 says, I humbled my soul with fasting. So, there's a lot of scriptural basis for fasting, and maybe during these periods of time, you can cover some of those scriptures because it will help you to understand what it is that you're doing so that you can do it in a way that's honoring and respecting God. It's this book, Common Sense Guide to Fasting by Kenneth E. Hagin. It's a good book. We used to have one by Bob Rogers on fasting. There's some good books that you get online. Jensen Franklin, I think, has some really good writings on fasting. And this one is a fairly new book. This is by Philip Renner, called A Fasted Life, Living a Lifestyle of Intimacy and Power with God. I'm going to quote a few things from this book in just a minute here. So, in fact, we'll just do it right now. This is from Fasted Life by Philip Renner. He's the son of Rick Renner and Denise Renner, great pastors in Moscow. So from Fasted Life, he gives 15 kind of guidelines for fasting in this book. Actually, just coming back to talking about this book for a bit, if you spent the money to get this book just for reading the first chapter where he talks about how he learned to fast when he was 14 years old, it would be worth all the money that you spent, because it's just full. I can't talk about it here just because there's not time this morning. But here are the guidelines that he laid out in this book. Number one, there's 15 of them, so I'll just read through them fairly quickly. If you can't take notes that fast, you'll just have to come back and watch the video. Number one is to abstain from TV, movies, or social media for a period of time is not fasting, but behavior modification. So a lot of times people say, I'm going to fast TV. Well, that's not fasting. Fasting is going without food. It's not that behavioral modification is a bad thing, or that giving up TV or social media or any of those kinds of things would be bad. They'd probably be a good thing for you, because probably all of us spend far too much time on any of that. Number two, to fast should never be required or forced. Fasting is a form of worship offered to bless and honor God in spirit of grace, not legalism. Number three, to fast and pray will bring clarity that reveals God's plan for your life. Number four, to fast helps silence the voice of the flesh, enabling you to hear the voice of God within your spirit more clearly. Number five, to submit to God through fasting will replace pride with humility. Number six, to fast releases physical healing into our bodies and equips us to handle pressure and stress. How about that? How are you handling pressure and stress? Maybe this is a good thing for you here. Number seven, the motivation of biblical fasting is to seek God's heart in consecration, not just seek his hand as a consumer. You know, a lot of times we're like, gimme, gimme, my name is Jimmy. But we want to seek God's heart, not just what he can give us. Amen. Number eight, to fast doesn't change or move God. That might be a revelation to some people. Fasting and prayer changes you to align with his will. And that would be a good thing, right? Number nine, God sees you as a valuable son or daughter in his family. You have to recognize, you know, this is not about you anyway. This is about him. Number 10, be astonished and astounded at what God can do through your fasted lifestyle. Number 11, fasting will transform you to grow in God's love and to develop a heart of compassion. We could all use more of that, right? Number 12, fasting done with wrong motive is pointless and will not produce the needed results. Number 13, new levels of righteousness will rise and be established in your personal daily experience as fasting gives you a God perspective to change. So important to have God's perspective on things, amen? Because that helps you to walk through some difficult times if you need to. Number 14, prayer and fasting will birth the next generation called into the ministry. So important. You know, there's a generation and generations behind us that need our commitment to God, to pray for them, and to pull them into the kingdom of God, and to be the example for them. Number 15, To break a fast correctly requires self-discipline, but reaps many blessings to your spirit, soul, and body. So in his experience with fasting, his first fast, he had some things to say about that. They're really amusing, but praise the Lord. So when you've been fasting, especially if you're fasting all food for the full 21 days, be careful how you come off of the fast. Or if you've never fasted before and you do some extended periods of fasting, be careful how you come off of it, because there's no point in you being miserable coming off of it. Praise the Lord. If you need some help with that, there are several that have experienced some things. They can help you with that. Praise the Lord. So these guiding principles will help you to stay focused, on track with your motives and expectations as you minister to the Lord in fasting. Please note, none of these precepts address any sort of regulation regarding how long or in what manner you are to fast. And all of that is and more is between you and the Lord. The main thing is for you to present yourself to Him as a living sacrifice with a sincere heart. The Lord will direct you as He desires from that point forward. So when we call a fast at the beginning of the year, we're not mandating that everybody must fast in a certain way. We're asking you to fast in whatever way and whatever level that you can do. Neither are we commanding you to fast for 21 days. Only fast for the amount of time that you have faith for and is reasonable for you. Please get that, okay? I know some people say that we're the cult church over there on Bass Road, but they don't know us very well. That's okay. It's okay that they say those kinds of things. Probably not okay for them, but it's okay with us. It doesn't matter what people say. Only fast for the amount of time that you have faith for and is reasonable. Everybody got that? If you have medical issues or you're taking various kinds of medications, you may need to consult with your physician. We're not telling you to do something that's against what your doctor is telling you. So when you fast, give the value of the meals that you have not eaten towards our mission projects. So this year, we're planning to do some missions trips, and this year we're dedicating the funds that come in from fasting to our missions trips, to one of our missions trips or more of our missions trips, depending on how much comes and how much is needed. Praise the Lord. So last year, we dedicated it to the Adult and Teen Challenge Recovery Center here in Fort Wayne. So we were able to give them, I think, over $4,000 from the fasting money that we brought in last year in January. So when you fast, you can give the meal. You're invited to give the value of those meals. So that's easy to figure out. I mean, you know what your grocery bill is per week? More or less. So divide that by the numbers of days and week, and you know how much per day. So if you fast for one day, it's this much. If you're fasted for 3 days, it's this much. If you fasted for the whole week, it's this much. If you're just fasting two meals a day, like from morning to sundown, you can figure out what those two meals would be, more or less, and give the average of that. So just figure it out for yourself, or ask God. You know, if you can't figure it out, just say, God, what is that number? And then believe Him when He gives you the number, and it's not too big. Because we all know, eggs have gone up 30%, right? Glory to God forever. But you know, God has the cattle on 1,000 hills, the earth and the fullness thereof. The silver and gold are His, and He's your provider. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. So what this is doing is taking the value of what you didn't eat and investing it in the kingdom of God, in somebody else's salvation. Praise the Lord. That's a good thing, right? Hallelujah. All right, so all the details of all of those things are between you and the Lord. So if you have some confusion about it, pray. Ask your cell leader to talk to you about it or whatever. If you're undecided about it, just pray and ask God, and then do what he says to do. Amen? Praise the Lord. So what we do stress is humility, obedience, and a spiritual hunger for God's word and his presence in your life. So the word fasting in Hebrew comes from the word tsum, T-S-U-M. I mean, that's not the Hebrew alphabet, but that's the transliteration of the Hebrew alphabet, tsum. And it means to abstain from food or fast. So in Isaiah 58, that's the word that you would find for fasting, you know, what it's talking about. Is this a fast that I've chosen for you, etc., etc.? It's the word tsum from Hebrew, and it means to abstain from food. The main thing is to present yourself to the Lord as a living sacrifice with a sincere heart, listen to his instructions, and follow his guidance. So if you do that through this 21 days, you'll have a victory. And you'll be amazed at some things that happen. Sometimes unexpected things happen. Healings and deliverance and blessing and other things that come. I never really particularly like to fast, but I always enjoy the results of fasting because God always amazes you. Praise the Lord. So for those who keep a right heart before the Lord, here is God's promise of mercy from Malachi chapter 3, verse 16, and I'm landing the plane here. Malachi 3, 16. Then those who feared the Lord spoke with each other, and the Lord listened to what they said. In his presence, a scroll of remembrance was written to record the names of those who feared him and always thought about the honor of his name. They will be my people, says the Lord of heaven's army. On that day, when I act in judgment, they will be my own special treasure. I will spare them as a father spares an obedient child. Then you will again see the difference between the righteous and the wicked, between those who serve God and those who do not. Is that something to look forward to? What an amazing, amazing promise of God. But that's what happens when you humble yourself before God and you allow him to bring his presence into your life. And then talk to each other about it. Encourage one another in it. That's what this is about. This is about a season of seeking God in prayer and humbling yourself and fasting and going before the Lord and saying, God, I'm in expectation. And even if you don't know what you're in expectation of, just know it'll be good. Because he's a God of loving kindness and tender mercies. And then I'll close with this passage from this book, The Fasted Life by Philip Renner. Know this. Whenever you come before God and pour out your heart to him in fasting and prayer, allowing him to work change in you, that sacrifice is never in vain. This was the first time the Lord instructed me to fast for 40 days. After that fast, the youth group ministry grew from 30 to 50 youth, to 150 youth. All of the youth leaders who were against me left, and God brought in a completely new leadership team who helped me in the years that followed. But looking back on this first fast, I realized that it wasn't just about praying and fasting for the youth. The significance of that fast was for me to gain a truly consecrated heart. It wasn't the fast itself that produced these changes. Fasting became the dedicated occasion for me to set my focus entirely on God, to hear his direction, to receive his correction, and to yield myself more fully to the Holy Spirit. That consecration and obedience is what paved the way for God to move as he desired in my situation. Love as he desired in my situation. God is no respecter of persons. What he did for me, he will do for you. If you choose to honor him with the time and consecration through love-directed, God-focused fasting, it will give the Lord access to demonstrate his faithfulness in your life. And in that process, he will lift off the limits that have hindered you in the past as he shifts you to another level in your walk with him. So let's pray. Father, we just thank you for this opportunity to come before you with thanksgiving in our hearts, to come into your courts with praise on our lips, to be thankful to you and to bless your name. And Father, we just pray for those who are with us today online and those here in the service, that as we consecrate ourselves and dedicate ourselves to you, that your presence will come into our lives in new and special ways, that you will lift us out of the chaos of the world that we live in during those times, Father, and put in us what we need to do, to have to face the world, to face the world that we live in with courage, with boldness, and to be more than conquerors through Jesus Christ who loves us and gave himself for us. Father, help us to conquer the flesh during these days, and the works of the flesh and all the sins, Father, and weights that would easily beset us, Father, and to run with patience, Lord, the race that's set before us, and looking to Jesus, the author, the developer of our faith. And for it, we give you glory, honor, and praise, Father, in Jesus' majestic name. And everybody said, amen. Praise the Lord.
Thanks for listening to this episode of My Father's House podcast. We hope you'll subscribe to hear our latest updates. My Father's House is a non-denominational Christian church located at 5712 Bass Road in Fort Wayne, Indiana. We invite you to visit us by checking schedule information at mfhfw.org. At our website, you can also support the work of My Father's House with your tax-deductible donation. We pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers.